Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Alchemy of Life podcast. I don't know about you, but we've been traveling through some pretty big shifts and lessons recently, and there has certainly been some growing pains. But one thing's for sure, through all of the experience that we've had and all our inner work, is that when we choose to view each experience as an opportunity to expand and grow, we open into endless possibility and the process of alchemy. I hope that through listening to this podcast, you are also being able to integrate the teachings within your life too. So you'll know that surrender and trust have been two of the greatest healings I've experienced. And so with all that I've embodied and the journey that I've been on, I'm really excited to share with you my Surrender to the Mystery retreat, which is happening on the 9th to the 12th of December at Avalon Wellbeing in the UK. Join us for a weekend of yoga, meditation, ceremony and ritual, cold water exposure, heat therapy, world-class treatments, all amongst 3,000 acres of sacred land. This is truly a next-level retreat and transformational on so many levels. So guys, if you want to find out more, head to my website, it's steffiwhiteyoga.com, and click on the retreats tab. We only have a few spaces left already. So here we are at episode 13 of the Alchemy of Life podcast, and this week's guest is Estelle Bingham. Estelle has been sharing her profound work for over 25 years now and has been named the Heart Whisperer, helping us to expand into more love, more purpose and connection. I can't wait for you to hear this episode and all of her wisdom. And a reminder that this week's episode is brought to you by Ora Organic. Ora are a beautiful plant-based supplement brand passionate about using organic, powerful plants to support your health, whatever it is that you're going through. And you know me, what I love most about Ora Organic is that all of their products are free from synthetic vitamins and additives, and they've been designed by a qualified nutritionist to ensure the highest quality. So from sleep support to gut health, Ora Organic have something to offer you. And I have a 30% discount code. So head to ora.organic and use the code STEFFI30 to receive 30% off your first order. Enjoy the podcast, everyone. And thank you so much for listening, as always. Estelle Bingham is a holistic therapist, healer, and author. She is a fourth generation psychic and has been meditating since the age of six. She has been described as the Heart Whisperer and has been dedicated to supporting others to having more love, purpose, and connection in their lives for over 20 years. Welcome, Estelle, to the podcast.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here, Steffi.
Oh, well, actually, I was just thinking before we got on this call. So last time I saw you, we bumped into each other in a food shop. And that was the day that I had the van outside the shop that I was literally driving through France, through Spain to start my new life in Mallorca. And now here we are.
I know. It's amazing because I've wanted to see you or bump into you forever and a day. You've been on my mind. And there we are in the middle of Queen's Park, Planet Organic, and you're rushing around just to you know, about to live the dream, Steffi. So
I know. You know, well, amazing. It's good to have you here, Estelle. So I wanted to jump in with, you're a fourth generation psychic. I didn't know this till I did some research on your website. Can you share a little bit about your background and your journey that's led you here to the work that you share today?
Yes, I will. So I come from on my mother's side. So we're psychic on my mother's side. And often the gift gets handed down, as we've heard, you know, many of your audience would have heard that, through the female line. So my mother was very psychic. Her great grandmother was very psychic. And it kind of is something that it just has flowed into me. But what I will say is, everyone has the ability to be psychic in their own lives. And actually, that's really what my work's about. And often there'll be, you may not know that there were healers or medicine women or, you know, doulas in, you know, the doulas of life really is what I say. You know, often we've worked with herbs, we've worked with childbirth, we've worked with all sorts of things as women in our collective consciousness. And so really we have that ability, even if it's not obvious that it's in your line, you know, it is in your line somewhere. And even if it's not in your line, you can find that and activate that DNA and really activate and unlock that energy within you.
Well, it's interesting you said that, Estelle, because that's really what I wanted to ask, because while I don't really feel tapped in deeply to psychic abilities or gifts, I definitely feel every word that you're saying to be true. And I've had certain moments, like I'm sure all of our listeners have experienced, where you're going to phone your mom and she's about to phone you too. Or like you can tell, you have this like sense, this intuition, maybe I would call it, like something's going to happen. Something's happened. And then we, in hindsight, say, I just knew it. Like I knew it, I felt it. And I guess we could say, in a way, these are psychic tendencies. And I wanted to ask you, for people who, and myself, who don't feel as connected to this part of themselves, how can we turn up the volume and really connect more deeply to this aspect of ourselves?
The first thing I would say is put all of those preconceptions that you have about what it means to be something to the side. So that's the first thing. And we know that with all of our healing, right? So all of our healing, we put that suitcase down. We leave it outside the door, and all the judgments, all the fears and doubts, and oh, that's not me, or that couldn't be me, or is that really me? Or that we put to one side, press pause. And then really what you're talking about, which it is psychic, you know, it's a psychic ability. And we have different, some people are clairaudient, some people are clairsentient. There's all different types of clairs, clairvoyant, but we can develop those intuitions, and we can call it the intuition, because often that becomes less intimidating. So if we talk, oh, I'm psychic or I'm not psychic, that was psychic or not, then that becomes immediately quite intimidating. But if we just go back to the basics, go back to the essence of who we are, what we were, how we were born and what we were born to be, which is fully connected and fully aligned. So really, you know, all of our people in the light, all of our guides, all the angelic realms, the trees, everyone's waiting for you to show up, right? The earth's waiting, the flowers are waiting. They're waiting to be in communion with you, and you are enough. So it's really that, right? It's as simple as that. It's like, I am of the earth, I'm of the stars, and I'm enough. And really we open to that. And so those little things that you're talking about, and if you're thinking about the practicalities, yeah, like the meditation is really wonderful, because meditation, as you know, meditation and yoga really help to still the mind, because the mind is not of the soul. So the soul, and that's really what we're returning to, is this soul essence and soul connection that every single person that is listening now today, and every human being has a soul. So it's as simple as that. We're just going home. So really, the mind that tells us all this stuff and chatters and babbles on, and that is of the lifetime. Okay. It's a construct. So as we know, when we think about manifestation, thoughts are a construct. Our thoughts are the subconscious mind creates, the conscious mind creates our reality. But they're also the thing to get around and understand is we are more than them. Okay. So if we've had that childhood where we've been told that we're not enough, we can overcome those, that thought pattern. That's a pattern, as we know. So when it comes to the intuitive self, we can do those very, take those very small steps where we kind of get behind ourselves. It's like we do that. We cheerleader ourselves. It's so, wow. Okay. That was a moment of me being aligned, in touch, in tune. Meditation helps. I would say, you know, silence, or when you go into nature and have some moments of silence, and that can be, you know, so we have this idea that you've got to be closed eyes meditating, but no, you can actually be walking as we, and in meditative state, or gardening and in meditative state. And what we're looking for is commune. We're looking to commune. right? So when you're tending to the flower, it might just be the geranium in the pot, and you're tending quite lovingly to that geranium in the pot, then there's space in between for communication between you and nature. And that plant has something to say to you, or just or whatever it is. It's just, we start to attune, we start to empty, we start to become open, and then things can really drop in. And of course, after that, you can start to do some really different types of practices to bring in your guides, to connect with the angels. I always say just a little prayer to the angels every day. If you believe in the angels, we don't have to have a religious connection to the angels. They're beings, they're light beings. So same with our family in the light. So family members who've passed over, let them come in and be by your side. It's what they really want to do. So like I said, they cannot wait for you to just get out of the way of yourself and create that little bit of space to just be like with you.
I love that. It's such a, for me, this ties to everything. It's get out of the way. Just all you need to do is get out of the way. And I so resonated and felt what you were speaking about there with this commune with nature. And if we can just get out of the way and open ourselves to this experience of, yeah, commune, being with, being part of, seeing ourselves within it all. Yeah, for me, that's such a foundation to all healing, isn't it? And yeah, to being, and to the richness of life. And we'll speak about manifestation later, because I know you're just a brilliant person to talk about this. But yeah, exactly. Opening ourselves up, feeling the richest of life. Life becomes rich in that moment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, so thank you for sharing that. And something that I'm really interested in, but I think I have, I don't know, a little bit of resistance, or feel like maybe I need support to incorporate this next level of practices, but actually just speaking to you, I know it's all here, so I don't really. But when you're speaking about angels and ancestors, loved ones, other realms, sort of this kind of practice, I would love for you to share a little bit, because maybe a lot of our listeners aren't so used to hearing this kind of language, or maybe feel a little bit resistant to it. What exactly is this? I know you do a practitioner course, angelic shamanism.
Yeah. Yes.
And all of this stuff. Share a little bit more about this, because for me, I'm like, ooh, interesting. I've done a little bit of ancestral work with shamanism, being in the Temescal, but very little.
Mm. So I decided to start a practitioner course because actually, you know, with my one-to-ones, I haven't got enough time to see my one-to-ones. You know, it's such a massive space in terms of what the need in people to be met in a certain way. And my practice is, it brings in a lot of different modalities, but has kind of, you know, from my lifetime is very clearly grounded in the angelic shamanic experience. And I'll explain a little bit more about that. But when I come, you know, my one-to-ones are the holistic therapy is a sort of somatic, psychic, you know, speaking, non-speaking download. I work with crystals, but we work very quickly. So someone may be seeing a traditional therapist and they might go round and round in circles or sort of not necessarily get to something for quite some time. Mm. And I always say when people turn up at my doorstep, it's like game on, right? Because yeah, they arrive and I get a download for them. So I get like, it's like being a doctor, and between shifts, the doctor, you're in the hospital and the doctor checks the notes, and I'm kind of given your notes. So we get very quickly into where your pain points are, where the wounds are, and what we need to clear in order for you to live the life that you're meant to live. So many people are either out of their bodies. So some trauma in their early childhood has shifted them out of their bodies. They're not really in their bodies, in their hearts. And that's massive. A lot of us are in denial. You know, it's so scary when we think about, we get this idea of going back into who our story is really overwhelming. But I found what happens with the angelic shamanic work is we have the support of these other dimensions. Okay. And we are these other dimensions. So this idea that it's something, ooh, it's a bit like scary, you know, like what's going on over there. It's like, well, we are of the earth and we are of the stars. So, you know, the reality is we go back to the earth. You know, when we pass over, our ashes go back into the earth. And the earth, when we think about that interconnectedness, you know, it's real. So, the first thing is to think about with the shamanic work that I do, the shamanic work is to be fully embodied. And, you know, the spiritual bypass, we can kind of, as I grew up in different spiritual communities, but there's a lot of spiritual bypassing that happens and you'll find it everywhere. Okay. So the minute someone kind of, you know, they get into a little bit of something, they can start to spiritually bypass, like there's a sort of superiority, or I'm better at doing this than you are, or, you know, I'm more spiritual than, you know. So the shamanic element is really our humanity, and it's the mother, you know, and we're not going anywhere until we're fully embodied in the incarnation. So we've got to come right into the body. We've got to inhabit this space. We've got to be okay with it. Right. So that grounding means that the work can be really dynamic. So when we then connect with what else is surrounding us, and again, it's that thing of, you know, yeah, there are many layers to that, but they are safe layers. So when they're held, you know, they're really safe layers. And so the angelic realms and our ancestors, there's a, you know, I always say it's this crossroads. So the lifetime is a crossroads between your karmic, all of your past lives, and then your ancestral line. So your karmic line and your ancestral line, and your lifetime meets in the middle. So all of those past lives that you've had, and all of that past life knowledge, and all those memories, all the wisdom that you've kind of accrued over your lifetime, and then the ancestral wounding or story, we come into the lifetime to heal something fundamental. And that's called a sacred contract. But we come in, and so those wounds and those lessons, and they are part of our soul looking to grow. So in the big story, when we go back into this, into the all of this, the stuff in the childhood, or relationships, or heartbreak, or stuff that's happened along the way, and we release these stories, the soul is growing. And I work with the earth and the light realms in all, because it's such dynamic healing. It's what is quantum healing. So when your audience may have heard of sort of the quantum field. Joe Dispenza talks a lot about the quantum field, and the quantum field has existed.
Love Joe Dispenza.
Yeah. Yeah. Since the beginning of time, the quantum field. So the quantum field is, you know, so sages and mystics and have been talking about the quantum field, and it's a unified state of consciousness. You know, it exists. So, and it's where everything, and when we talk about manifestation, it's where, you know, when you make that shift, or you even the intention, or just for a moment, a kind of only takes a few moments a day to be like, oh, the quantum field exists, rather than all that other stuff. Does it really? And we can kind of just literally where you were walking, you know, a mile, you can run a marathon, right? Because, and that's what happens in sessions where there is an angelic shamanic modality holding the session, if that makes sense. It moves really quickly, really powerfully.
I can feel it. Bloody hell. I love what you're speaking there about the past lives and the ancestral line. I think you called it the sacred contract, the witch contract.
The sacred contract.
Sacred contract.
Yeah.
And my podcast is called The Alchemy of Life, and we're here sharing a lot about, you know, transforming wounds to wisdom, and that often our greatest lessons transpire and alchemize to be our kind of biggest gift. And if we're able to trust that our soul has come here for these lessons, while they might not be easy and not to spiritually bypass, but to remember while we're in the thick of it, that it's a process of growth potentially. And so I'd love that you shared a little bit about that. I wanted to ask you personally, if there's been sort of a moment in your life that's transpired or propelled you to where you are today, or if it's been more gradual, because it sounds like you've been in spiritual communities kind of all of your life, but has there been this great kind of moment or some remembering that you've needed to be like, ah, but this is why I've came here, no matter how hard it is?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be here without my ancestral line. And my ancestral line is on my mother's side, there's a lot of neglect, and there's a lot of neglect in the feminine and in the masculine too. And there's alcoholism, there's a lot of addiction in that line too. So how that resulted in with my mother is in a, you know, a lot of chaos. You know, she wasn't an addict, but she had narcissistic tendencies and all sorts of wounding that she hadn't processed. So the lack of mothering, you know, with my sole purpose. So my sole purpose came in, you know, this was what I was always going to be doing, right? I tried not to do it for a bit, but I was always going to be doing it. But the reality is that wound, which was huge. You know, I feel like one of the big things is when we're born into those families, you know, we become, it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, we are empaths often because we're hypervigilant, right? So hypervigilance creates that trauma creates a psychic ability, right? So you can go in and read a room because you need to know as a child what is happening next. You need to be able to read the rage, the violence, the scary stuff, the whatever's in that room. You've got to be able to be like a five steps ahead of it. So that and the absence of my father on in the masculine, like those two stories are like fundamental to my work, because what happened was I was really pushed into the memory of my karmic line, really, with my, like I said, that because of meditation at an early age, that had kind of been activated. So that's the wonderful thing about healing, is you get activated into all that stuff that you've learned in past lives. Even you may not believe in past lives, but if you try it, it's pretty profound. Like, just, yeah, it's really huge, right? So, but this thing, of course, as a child, I'm like, And the reality is that all of those things, because these are the things that we feel. So when I see people, you know, and I feel and I know that loneliness, you know, the loneliness that we feel so lonely at times, just that there's no one, you know, it's so hard to be human often. And those lessons, those deep feelings in my heart, a massive part of why I am who I am. And really that massive mother wound. So healing that mother wound in my early 20s, because it pushed me into a massive relationship with the divine feminine from really my early 20s. I went on a search. I went on a quest to really get to the bottom of my pain and my trauma. So, but for me, it's obviously like the divine mother and the sacred feminine is the mother behind the mother behind the mother behind the mother. She is the whole, and she is in the earth, and she's also in different, we may feel her, or she may come to us in different forms. You know, it may be just in the earth, right? You just feel Gaia, you feel Mother Earth. It may be that you have a connection with Mary Magdalene or Mother Mary or Isis or Green Tara, and their faces, Kuan Yin, of the divine feminine. And really, it's a slipstream energy. It's an energy that exists in the universe of just pure compassion and love. And it does exist. So when that comes in, and I always say I said that to my practitioners, because a lot of my practitioners, came on my course at the beginning, and they kind of came on my course, and they sort of think, oh, maybe I've got something I don't know. Most of them are like, because what happens is we go right into our doubt of, I can't do this and I'm not good enough. Most of them didn't really understand angelic energy. And I said, part of that first year course is you will have experiences and initiation. You will be initiated and experience divine energy and that angelic energy, because it's waiting for you. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm just facilitating the space. It's like your relationship to the light, not my relationship. It's your relationship. And now they get it, like, because they have experiences, you know, and that slipstream of when we think of the divine feminine, that slipstream exists. So when you move into it and you, or you feel you do it, put a little toe in, it's a non-negotiable. And that's the thing about when you were saying with some of the listeners who are like, oh, I don't know. And I just say, well, you just, you know, you put a toe in a very gentle way, and you, and it's your timing and it's your time. And remember that this is about love. So you are looking to be loved, this energy is looking to love you. It's looking to return, to bring you home. And so there isn't anything coming to get you. Our egos choose the timing, actually. So we can be in a lot of resistance, but I say just do it in your own time. Very, very, very gently. Just do it in your own time.
And you've mentioned there that you kind of work with a lot of different modalities. I've seen you on Instagram speaking about astrology, you have moon meditations, you have your psychic gifts, you work to one-to-one, shamanic, angelic practitioner courses. There seems to be an array of offerings that you have, but from what I can gather, it all comes to these three pillars of love, purpose, and connection. And so for you, from your perspective, is it these three principles that kind of equate to, I don't know, feelings of wholeness, happiness, harmony?
Yeah. How do we really, you know, what is peace? You know, what is that feeling deep in the cells? What is that real feeling of, oh, where everything in the body can just exhale and we're just at peace, you know? And for me, love, purpose, connection, they are the three pillars. And it is interesting when you say it like that, Steffi. I'm thinking, well, there are a lot of offerings there. And what's going on? But that's actually to do with just my understanding of the world and what I kind of use to alchemize and have done for years and years and years. But those are they are the true pillars. And for me, all of it comes down to the heart. And that's what I work with. It's the essence of all that I do, is our way back home is through the heart. So we're not going anywhere till we have stepped into our heart space. And that is really what all of the work is about. So it's about how we feel safe enough to kind of create that bridge, step back in, and we have to listen to the heart. So that means that, you know, when we go in and we really go in, the heart will tell us its story, and its story, you know, it's been holding so much for us over the years. It's such a powerful space, you know, this chakra space, and so unlimited and so, so beautiful, and holds all our grief. It holds so much of us, and we have to companion heart. Then we go deeper. So that's like the human heart. And then we go deeper, and it drops us in to our spiritual heart. And that is the gateway to the soul.
Ram Dass speaks about the spiritual heart. I really connect with that when you said that. Exactly.
Hmm. And then when we're in the soul, when we're kind of starting to listen to the soul or be in relationship with the soul, we build this relationship like a bicep. You know, it grows, and like you say, like that, those little intuitions, our little things drop in as we're taking a walk along the beach, or we're walking to the supermarket, or we see something, or there's a sign, or these things, and the soul starts to speak to us through the world, because it starts to speak to us shamanically. And then it also starts to speak to us angelically. So it might be that you see a rainbow in the sky, or something happens, or the world begins to commune. You begin to commune with yourself, with your divine self. Then the divine can commune back with you. Hallelujah, it says, right? Finally. So this thing around purpose, then purpose becomes really more soul felt, you know. And then you know, I always say to people, purpose can also has layers. So there's the spiritual purpose, and there's layers. Like sometimes the purpose for the day is just to be more present with your children, or just to be more present with your partner, or just to be more present with yourself. Like today, actually, I need to not do any one-to-ones, and I need to switch my phone off, and I need to lie down, actually. Mm. Right, that is my purpose for today. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our egos can get really wrapped up in, I can't find my purpose. But this communication we start with the spiritual heart brings us into a deeper relationship with the folk, with the purpose. Purpose goes into sort of deeper focus, becomes more, it starts to emerge, the sort of spiritual purpose, while we take care of the little other sort of practical purposes day to day. So there might be that you're in a job and you know what, like you were really passionate about being a teacher as a child, and you're in your 20s and you're now sort of turning into your 35, or you've worked in the city, or I don't know, you're baking bread, right? And it was a real thing that you wanted to do. And then it's kind of like, oh, I'm waking up and I'm just not sure about this anymore. And so, yeah, well, day to day, like the purpose is you've got to still show up to that, right? But this relationship that we're growing in the heart means that our spiritual purpose can also start to emerge too. Mm-hmm. So then there may be something else that you may be needing to do. And often it is to be of service in some way.
Yeah.
Because ultimately that is really, really what brings wholeness, you know. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be in a massive way. It doesn't have to be that we're all saving the world. Mm-hmm. Right. But there is something about being of service in the small way. And that's why, you know, I think when the Dalai Lama was saying those small acts of kindness, you know, those small acts of kindness that people don't see. Those are the acts of kindness that I really salute. Mm. You know, you may not be seen every day. You may be caring for a parent, or you might be a single parent, or whatever it is that you're doing, and you're just doing what you're doing. And that is an act of service. And those acts of service are profound.
Yeah.
And then connection is that last pillar. It's that last piece. And really what happens is, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, when we really feel a sort of this oceanic energy, or there's just an alignment, there's just that moment. And you would have heard of it because it may feel like it's on the outside. It may feel kind of a little bit trippy or hippy dippy, or a bit kind of, that's really not me. I really don't get that. This idea of interconnectedness, this idea of connection, which is as old as the world. So whether you like it or not, right, you're holding it in what I call your cosmic DNA. Mm-hmm. Because your cosmic DNA, we come from those people. Mm-hmm. We come from those ancient people somewhere in our DNA. And those people, they knew how connected we were, with each other, and how connected we were with the earth. And they knew that without that interconnectedness, you know, really we're going nowhere. So the earth, that the earth cannot thrive without us being connected to the earth, without us showing up to that moment. I am the guardian of this part of the beach that I walk down every day with my dog. So I need to pick up that piece of plastic, that even that little plastic top, I don't want that to end up in the stomach of a whale.
Mm. Being guardians of the land, stewards of the
being
land.
Being the stewards, being the custodians of the land. And so that connection, you know, is the ultimately, like, there is something about that last piece, and it's just very, the expansion of self.
Thank you, Estelle. I love that. And we mentioned earlier a little bit, tapped into this manifestation. And I feel like right now, to manifest is such a buzzword. It's very fashionable. It's in the mainstream and highly misunderstood. And I actually have a lot of resistance to the word, not to manifesting itself, because I love manifestation, but the way it's portrayed and how it's just, yeah, so deeply understood and misunderstood. I'd love for someone like you, Estelle, who has such great connection to actually the truth, to share with our listeners, perhaps, the laws or the process of manifestation and how we can tap into that.
Wow. Well, Steffi, I mean, you know, yeah, it's a buzzword. It's become, it's so like fashionable, isn't it? So like, whoa, like, you know, manifestation. And about 25 years ago now, 30 years ago, something came out, a book came out called The Secret, which you may or may not have heard of. And I know that your audience may or may not have heard of that book, but it was massive. It was huge. And it's now been reinvented. Okay. And the basic law of attraction is, again, is something that has been understood by seers and mystics, and it's an ancient law. It's basic, right?
Yeah.
The law of attraction is basic, but I'm going to explain that. And it has been misunderstood. It's not about this, I write some affirmations down on the full moon and and then I burn them, and then it's all good.
And then I make £10 million next month.
And then I make £10 million next month.
Yeah.
What happened with The Secret was it was massive and it was wonderful really at the time, but it also, people afterwards, you know, didn't manifest £1 million, right? And the world goes on and here we all are, okay? And, you know, every day where the people suffer and there's pain and everyone didn't become overnight successes and X, Y, Z. So why, you know, and this thing of like, well, it didn't work, you know, and the basic law of attraction is that you attract to you what you are. So this is the thing about the thoughts. Okay. So I attract abundance to me if I am abundant.
Yes.
But what happens with this idea of manifestation, and this is where we've got to be so careful, and there's some other very also fundamental intrinsic spiritual laws that are not being embodied at the same time. So then can all sorts of things can go on, right? So the law of attachment and detachment, you know, the idea of looking to manifest having not really worked out anything inside. So like zero alignment inside means if I sit there for that 5 minutes a day and I'm writing my gratefulness diary and I'm being really abundant and I'm really holding on for dear life and it's going to happen. And then an hour later, I'm not feeling, I'm punishing myself about, I think I've put on weight or I've not put on weight or I don't like that person or this is going on over it. Then what happens is it's shallow ground.
It's unrooted.
It's unrooted, right? And so really for me, and this is what my book's going to be about. So it is coming out and it's called Unlock the Healer Within. And Unlock the Healer Within is really about this idea of when we unlock the power and we have to really alchemize. And I use that word too. And so I loved it when this was podcast was called, you know, it had the word alchemy. And I was like, it's so perfectly aligned because for me, it is about alchemizing the different layers of who we are for really full alignment. And then manifestation. We don't have to be fully aligned to manifest, by the way, but we do need to be in process. So this idea that it's all going to be great, like you're just going to do X, Y, Z, and I'm going to, you know, stand on my head and, you know, do a few ohms and then really feel abundant for 5 minutes and write those things and it's all really good. And I'm going to meet the love of my life,
yeah,
you know, and you're not doing anything outside of that. I mean, there are habits for manifestation, but again, it's like watching, like thinking about, again, those habits can be quite, it's good to eat mindfully or it's good to, you know, it's good to do all those kind of work, the habits to become a great manifester. But it's also a deeper story, right?
Yeah.
It's a deeper story. So even this idea of attachment, like the law of attachment, if you're hanging on for dear life, white knuckle, it ain't happening, right? It's like, because we have to be really trusting enough.
Surrender to life, to God.
To God, right? We have to be surrendered. And that's a hoo-ha, right? But yeah. It's big work. It is big work. And I'm not saying, again, it's not to kind of put the kibosh on all of that, because I think that it's work that can begin today in a very gentle way, like I said before, but it's, you've got to show up to something, right? Other than your affirmation list.
Mm-hmm. That commune with nature, that simple 5 minutes of silence of just being with the stars, the trees, lying on the earth, allowing yourself to kind of let go into the soil and be held, all those sort of things is helping us to be embodied here and now, right? And then from that rooted place, and how simple that is, that's not like a really difficult thing. But what it requires, as you said, is to show up, you know, for yourself that day. We have to show up.
100%.
Without that, yeah.
Absolutely. What I love about manifestation is it does bring us a sort of different sense of ourselves. But ultimately, it's that thing of like that last piece, which is connection. And really, there is something about when we think about wholeness, because you can bring in the big house and the this and the that and the trolley.
Of course.
But it's like, but without that rootedness that you're talking about, which I love the way you described that, Steffi, you know, what's it all about?
Yeah. And why want it? Because if you do get it, you're not going to be happy.
No. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Chasing our tails, you know.
Yeah. And so Estelle, for all of our listeners who might want to connect into you much deeper, because you have such an array of offerings and so much to share, how can our listeners find out about you? What have you got coming up, and how can we plug in to Estelle Bingham?
Oh, wow, Steffi, I love that as an invitation. Okay. How long have you got? No. So you can find me at estellebingham.com. And I do full moon meditations. I've been doing those for over 25 years, actually. I worked out yesterday. So they're kind of like, they're very grounded and, you know, it is about community, and it's about, we build that. And it's sort of, people do drop in and they come in and come out depending on which moon calls them. But there is a real sacredness to those full moons. But I do those every month. I've got a moon club as well. And I'm also starting with the Unlock the Healer Within. That's going to be online for people. So that's going to be wherever you are. You can do different modules and kind of work through some of this energy that we were talking about today. So that if you want your manifestation practice to really sing, you know, but we kind of start by some of this lovely work, this other work, so we can get these other pieces going. So the love and the connection. So if we think manifestation is purpose, you know, how do we bring the heart and our connectedness into that story so that it becomes a whole story? So that's happening. And I also do a practitioner training, yeah, which is very exciting. So that's good too.
And have you got, I feel like you've got some amazing aura.
Oh, wow. Of course I have. Steffi,
I want you to tell our listeners about.
Yeah. So with the work that I do, I really had this feeling over the pandemic of like, well, how can people, because I'm all about empowering, you know, I'm all about empowering the power, you know, within you. Mm-hmm. And how you can bring these practices and like you say, like, well, how do we do that? These small little things every day to kind of bring you back into alignment, or to just create a 5-minute practice or something. And for me, it's all about the aura. So there's a kind of a piece about the aura, because within the aura that exists just outside of the body, there are a few layers of it. But when we meditate, when we do yoga and meditate, the aura, and when we eat well and look after ourselves, the aura gets really strong. So I don't know if you've ever felt, you've walked into a room, you felt an energy in the room, you know, and that's you picking up on the field. It's called the field. So it's energy, right? It's a thing that we can't see. Or when someone walks into a room, you look around and you're feeling them sort of almost before you feel them, but there's something about them that kind of turns your head, or sometimes you can feel really drained, right? So a lot of empaths or people
being
with someone, you're like completely, yeah, and your aura is sapped. Okay, so this auric energy that exists, I wanted to protect it. So I've made 3 aura sprays: protect, love, and purpose. And I was really like, I want to make these to rock. Like, these have got to do what they say, because everything I do is going to be like, this isn't a kind of an aura spray that just says aura spray. This is like, it does what it says on the packet. So protect is really powerfully just protects or, you know, you go, can go out into the world. If you, it's just like a amazing shield of energy. Purpose just brings you into something, and love is just a massive heart opener. So I'm really excited about those. So there's Sacred Tools for a Sacred Life. And there is an event that's happening on October the 9th in London that will be on my website. And so we've got Kagi Dunlop speaking and Lisa Donovan from the Pattern app and Roxy Nafusi.
The manifestation book.
Who's written the book about manifest. And it's going to be great. Yeah. And also Denise Lester, who's the most incredible sound healer. She helped me blend these oils, these sprays. She's wonderful. She runs a company called Ela. And so the Ela Apothecary. So yeah, so it's exciting. There's a lot happening.
Oh, they sound absolutely amazing, Estelle. Well done you. Congratulations. And thank you so much for this little just nugget of wisdom and to be in your essence and your presence. It's a total delight and a joy. Oh, so thank you.
It's been amazing. I've loved it, Steffi. So nice to see your beautiful smile on your face
Thank you. I know it's 8 o'clock in the morning here. So, and thank you to all of our listeners, as always, for listening. And this is the Alchemy of Life podcast. I'm Steffi, and I'll see you next week. We're coming towards the final episodes of this series, and we're so deeply grateful for all your support so far. So see you soon, and thank you.